Okay, so my name is Sarah DeSantis, and I work with ACERCA, Action for Community and Ecology in the Regions of Central America. And I'm actually going to focus on Mexico a bit when I talk about the environment, because unfortunately that has been the country most affected environmentally due to NAFTA, not to mention also economically and labor rights and all these kinds of things. Mexico has taken the heat on every single level the most. So free trade agreements. What are they for? Why do we have free trade agreements? To get rid of barriers to trade, right? I mean, it's barriers to trade make it hard for capital, for goods and services to move across borders, so we have to get rid of them. And those, you know, barriers to trade are tariffs, are laws that protect local economies, the environment, labor rights, workers' rights, human rights, health care. All those kinds of things get in the way of corporations' ability to make a profit. So before you can gain access to a free trade bloc like NAFTA, before you can get into the free trade area of the Americas, what your country is going to have to do is to rewrite many parts of its laws, because these laws are standing in the way of free trade. And as Macrina already talked about, the Article 27 in the Mexican Constitution, Mexico had to overturn 29 other laws or rewrite 29 other laws to gain access. So this is going to be happening throughout the whole Western Hemisphere if the Free Trade Area of the Americas goes through. Another big part is tariff elimination. So under NAFTA, all tariffs basically had to be removed. Either that was done immediately or within 5, 10, or 15-year increments. 15-year increments were for the most sensitive issues, which Macrina also talked on, which I'm going to expand on a bit, which is the issue of corn in Mexico. So you have all these Mexican and U.S. economists talking about comparative advantage in agriculture. Should Mexico be producing corn? No, they don't have the comparative advantage. The United States has the comparative advantage because we have the Green Revolution technologies. We have the pesticides, we have the insecticides, we have the chemical fertilizers, we have the tractors, we have the overhead sprayers, so we should be the ones producing the grains for Mexico. What Mexico should be producing is horticultural crops because they're labor intensive and they have cheap labor. They can produce the horticultural crops for the North. So that's kind of the agenda, and that's how it's decided on the global free trade agenda, who grows what. And unfortunately, as Macrina talked about, corn is the essence of life in Mexico. Corn was actually given a 15-year phase-out period under NAFTA, the tariff. And they started something called the tariff rate quota. And that meant up to a certain amount, the U.S. could export corn without any tariffs. And once it reached that quota, they were going to have to pay tariffs. Well, the Mexican government never implemented that, and it didn't matter. Before NAFTA, 2 million tons of corn were exported, and now Mexico gets 6 million tons of corn from the United States every year. Most of you probably know that. What happens in the Midwest? What kind of corn is grown out there? Genetically engineered corn. Almost 60% in the Midwest is genetically engineered right now. So what is that going to mean? Genetically engineered corn going down to Mexico? Yes. Also because the European Union won't allow it in, so actually higher proportions of genetically engineered corn are going down to Mexico because other countries have bans on it. Many of you may have already heard this sad story that I want to talk about. It takes place in a place called Oaxaca in southern Mexico, and I was actually there for a few weeks, a couple of months ago, talking to campesinos there. So in 1998, Mexico banned the cultivation of genetically engineered corn. Because the birthplace of corn is in Mexico. They have thousands of varieties of corn down there, and they wanted to protect that. However, they forgot to not allow the importation of genetically engineered corn. So now, as we see, there is genetically engineered corn growing. Two scientists last November went down to test the indigenous varieties in Oaxaca, and what they found was that the indigenous corn has genetically modified organisms in it now. And then the government went and tested 22 communities, and what they found is that 15% of these communities have corn that's indigenous with genetically modified contamination of 3 to 10%, and one community having 35% contamination. Now, this is a direct result of NAFTA, because obviously the corn going down there has tripled since NAFTA. Now, if you talk, I got to talk with some representatives from the Secretary of Agriculture. If you talk to them, this is increasing biodiversity. increasing biodiversity. It's entering new genes into corn, and it's going to be able to evolve. That's their line. Unfortunately, I think we all know that's going to undermine biodiversity. And not only that, it's ruining the historical process of evolution of corn in Mexico. When you have genetically modified or hybrid corn crossing with indigenous varieties of corn, those traits are going to be transferred, cross-pollinate to indigenous corn. And as most of you probably know, hybrid vigors, they lose their vitality every generation. So what we're going to actually hopefully not see, hopefully this problem can be solved, but this corn being less and less, being able to produce less and less. Of course, there's hundreds of environmental effects of genetically modified corn, and I just want to touch on one of the kinds of corn that's been found down there is called BT, which is actually it's an insecticide. It's registered as an insecticide because it has toxins that act as insecticide in every single cell. And we have no idea it's to ward off the corn borer up in the United States, but we have no idea what kind of other insects. It kills all kinds of beneficial insects in the soil and above ground. And that's just one more environmental effect. So I'm going to leave the corn issue there. There's international actions going on all over the world on this, so please keep your ears open for that. Next thing I want to talk about, switch gears a little bit, is something called, and Tom mentioned this, is the investor-to-state dispute resolution, which also is known Chapter 11 of NAFTA, and it's going to be in the FTAA. And what it does is it allows corporations to receive compensation if a law impedes their ability to make a profit. So if you have an environmental law that's in the way and corporation has to go around that environmental law and they can't make much money because they have to go around it, they can get compensation fees from the government who has that law. So corporations and investors aren't actually signing on to these corporations, right? They have no responsibility to these free trade agreements. However, they're receiving protection under these free trade agreements. What happens here is that countries don't want to pass strict environmental laws because they might have to pay for millions and millions or billions of dollars to keep these environmental laws in place, or they actually overturn environmental laws. And I want to give you one example of what's happened in Canada. MMT is a gas, and this went in front of the NAFTA tribunal. MMT is a gasoline additive that's manufactured by U.S. corporation Ethyl Corporation. It's U.S.-based, and it's a lead substitute. Unfortunately, it also reduces the functionality of catalytic converters, and one of its ingredients is known to cause brain damage in children. Whoops. You know, this isn't something we want in our gasoline or the Canadians want in their gasoline, obviously. So Canada actually banned the importation of MMT. Whoops. Ethyl Corporation doesn't like that. What do? They sue for $250 million under NAFTA. And it was very obvious that they were going to lose. Canada was going to lose, and they were going to have to pay the money because guess what? What side does the NAFTA tribunal always rule in favor? Corporation or the people? Can anyone take a... You got it, right. Every single case is ruled in favor of the corporations. So actually what Canada did was they overturned the ban and MMT can be sold again in Canada, and they also paid $13 million in compensation fees to Ethyl Corporation for lost profits and bad reputation. So this is exactly what NAFTA has caused, the annulment of indigenous rights laws, which Macrina was talking about, the annulment of environmental laws. The last thing I want to touch on is something called Plan Puebla Panama. How many people here have heard of it? I just want to see how many. That's great. Okay, this is good. So PPP is a proposed development project that President Vicente Fox is pushing for Mexico. And it's a development project that would extend from Puebla, which is a state right under Mexico City, all the way through Panama. And what it is this great superhighway that has railroads, has dry canals going from the East Coast to West Coast, Pacific to Atlantic. It has highways going that way, so east to west, north to south, this whole little crisscross of roads and superhighways, as they call it, five lanes. And guess what's going to decorate the sides of these highways? The maquiladoras. For any labor that happens to get displaced when they come into their town and rip their town apart, they can go work in the maquiladoras. And all of this is going to be ripping right through the indigenous heartland of Central America. So this is something we really have to look out for. It's it's literally going right through very large biological corridors. So, and the connection here with the PPP and the FTAA, lots of acronym soup here, is that the PPP, which is the development project, actually provides the infrastructure for the FTA to happen. What it does is it facilitates the movement of manufactured and agricultural goods between between the region and up to the United States, out to Europe, over to Japan. Whichever route you want to take, it will help you get your goods there. And again, it's not going to allow people to get across borders, except the people going to the maquiladoras. And I'm done. I just want to say thank you all for coming. And I encourage people to get involved with the Vermont Mobilization for Global Justice. We have two campaigns. One is working on the Free Trade Area of the Americas, and the other is Plan Colombia. Thanks, everyone, for coming.